The Lord's Supper is essentially a love feast. It's where, in a very special and definite and intimate way, we have fellowship with the Lord and He has fellowship with us. Where we indeed partake of Him and He gives Himself to us. Oh, praise the Lord. That is, of course, what He did when He died upon Calvary's cross. And that's what He does when we partake of these emblems of His broken body and of His shed blood. Oh, how thankful we ought to be that we can, in this way, sup with Him and He with us. Oh, thank God for fellowship. Thank God for this opportunity to really draw nigh in a very special way and let Him draw nigh to us. And He is here to meet every one of us by the power of the Holy Ghost here this night. I want to read the well-known passage from Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and just say a few words concerning this very precious ordinance before we partake of these emblems. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. It would seem as though the implication is that the Apostle Paul was given very personal and definite instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, which he in turn was to pass on to the believers. I have received of the Lord. We know that he said a number of things to the Apostle Paul. We know that he revealed himself in a very special way. He declares that he received the gospel not from men nor by men, but by revelation. Many people feel that perhaps some of this revelation, at least, was given at the time when he was in Arabia and shut up with God alone. Be that as it may, somewhere along the way, the Lord very definitely gave unto him this ordinance. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body. I want you to note this one word, body, in our meditation for tonight. Take, eat, this is my body. Now we realize, of course, that when Jesus said those words, that he was there in flesh and in blood right before them. And he certainly, to make it very crude and yet specific, he certainly didn't tear a part of his flesh from his body and hand it to the disciples who were gathered there at that table. But he said to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We ought never to forget what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We ought never to forget what was purchased for us, the deliverance from sin, the deliverance from sickness, the great deliverance from all the work and the bondage and the power of the enemy. Oh, thank God that he was willing to have his body broken for us. And we can thank him and approach this table with great thanksgiving for the victory that he won upon Calvary's cross. We ought to ask God to make us increasingly appreciative and understanding and thankful for what he did for us when he was nailed to the cross for us. It was a triumph over the work of the enemy. It was a triumph over all the results of sin and of the fall. Jesus Christ purchased and provided at that time a great victory, and you and I are to enter into it. You and I are to lay hold of the victories of Calvary, the provisions which the Lord won for us at that time. After the same manner also he took the blood, the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. Hallelujah. Oh, they knew what he was talking about. They could not but remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet when he said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will write my laws in their heart and put my laws in their mind. And they, everyone, shall know me from the least even unto the greatest." Oh, by this blood and by this covenant, an inward work was accomplished and provided for every one of us. Under the old covenant, there was an outward provision. But oh, thank God for this inward work that God brings to pass in every one of us, hallelujah, who turn to him, who receive him. He comes into us to live out his life through us. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. He puts new desires in your heart. He puts new thoughts in your mind. He writes his will and his law in your heart. Hallelujah. So that from your heart you may obey him. And oh, what an easier thing it is when it comes from your heart than it is when it comes from some outward rule and regulation. God does something for us. And you know, we ought to expect that God increases that inward work in us as we come to the table of the Lord. This is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We manifest what the Lord did for us on Calvary whenever we come to this table of the Lord. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's a solemn word. But it's a very definite and a very specific word, and you cannot get away from it, and you shouldn't try to. And therefore, it behooves us that we should be very diligent that we come to the table of the Lord with the right attitude of heart and that we partake worthily. In other words, that we are at right with God and we are right with our fellow man. That is a part, at least, of what constitutes partaking worthily. We are apt, as Protestants, to depreciate and to be sorry for some of the errors that has crept in to the Roman Catholic Church. And rightly so. And this is very unfortunate. But I would like to say something here, that at least there has been the outward attempt, and I dare say it has been very sincere with multitudes of Roman Catholics, that when they have gone to confessional, before they have partaken, gone to Mass the next day. It's been something that with multitudes of them, I know that with many of them, unquestionably it is but a form. I know that with many of them, it has not been something that has been very seriously gone through. I understand all of that. But I also know that there also have been multitudes who have taken it exceedingly serious. And we do not agree with the method whereby they check up on themselves, but that has been what has been taught to them, and that certainly finds its basis in the Word of God, that there should be this checkup on our souls before we come to the table of the Lord. And we know that in some other denominations, why, there has been very, very close scrutiny. For instance, in the Reformed Church, of which Andrew Murray was a pastor, why, they had usually a week's preparation, a week's services, in preparation for coming to the table of the Lord. And he has a little book entitled, The Lord's Table. And before they would have communion, and of course they usually had it only three times or four times a year, But they would have a whole week services in which they dealt with God about the table of the Lord and about their particular condition and whether they would be able to partake of the emblems worthily or not. I'm afraid that in many of our circles, and I'm afraid, sad to say, in many Pentecostal circles, the table of the Lord has become a rather light thing. And people do not really deal with God as they should prior to coming to it. But listen, God wants has put this in His Word, and He wants us to really come to the table of the Lord worthily. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that cup bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, or as the margin says, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned or judged with the world. There are three usages of this word body, and in this passage at least, and two of them at least very specifically deal with the body as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there has been some disagreement among Bible scholars and teachers and ministers as to what it really meant to discern the Lord's body. Some have said that it meant to discern the body of Christ, referring to the body of believers. And others have said it means, are we really discerning what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? And in view of the context, I am inclined to accept the latter interpretation, although I'm not going to have any argument with you or anyone else who may accept the other interpretation. But God wants us, as we partake of these emblems, to partake of them meaningfully, and realize that it is a very wonderful act of God, which God provides and performs as we partake of these emblems. Oh, thank God. We ought to discern what was done by the Lord Jesus Christ in His body when He died on Calvary's cross. And we ought to thereby take life and victory. Hallelujah. There have been some very precious servants of God who have made it a habit to take the Lord's Supper every single day. I think of our brother Smith Wigglesworth, very great evangelist whom God used very mightily. And he partook of the Lord's Supper daily, in part because he said, I want to partake of the life also of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I am partaking of this, these emblems, I am partaking in faith of this, of the body and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same was true of our dear Sister Brown, who was the great pioneer of the work in New York City and the pastor of Glad Tidings for over 60 years. She too made it her habit to partake of the Lord's Supper every single day. She was wanting to partake of that life of God and have that visible opportunity, shall we say, to sup with Him and He with her. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we ought to realize that God offers us something. He offers us at a time like this in a very specific way. If we partake by faith with thanksgiving, He offers unto us the victories which He purchased and which we remember. Oh, we need to remember. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget the blessings of God the provisions of God, the victories of God. But God wants us to remember. And God wants us to partake with thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah. He wants us to believe Him that He ministers to us as we by faith partake of Him and of His life. And I believe and I know it's true. I know it has been the experience of many that as they have partaken of the emblems of the Lord's body and blood, that they have been healed. There's been physical life, physical healing ministered. And I'd like to say, if there are any here tonight who are in need of physical healing, you ought to believe that God will give it to you.
Amen.
As you partake of His body and of His blood. For the life is in the blood, and His flesh is meat indeed, and His blood is drink indeed. And oh, thank God that we can come boldly to the table of the Lord and receive from Him the blessings of God. I'd like to say something. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight who is convicted in some measure, way or another, some place where you are not right with God. Bring that under the precious blood immediately. Do it at once. And if the Lord reminds you of something wherein you are not right in your relation with your brother or your sister, ask God to forgive you and promise Him that you will, as soon as possible after this service, make that wrong right with your brother or your sister. And then, of course, keep your promise. But God does not want you to be in such condemnation that you will not partake of these emblems. I was associated with a church at one time where there were people who would often not partake of the Lord's Supper. And they would almost do it with a little bit of pride. They realized they weren't right with their fellow man, with their brother, their sister, maybe it was their husband or their wife. And because they had feelings and attitudes they wouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper. And I remember a minister saying, well, that in one sense of the word was right, but in another sense of the word it was absolutely wrong, because they should get right with God and not allow a thing like that to continue for one moment in their heart. It's nothing to be proud of that you're not partaking of the Lord's Supper because you're not right with your fellow man or your fellow woman. But God wants us to get rid of those things. Surely it's a time to, shall we say, check ourselves. That's right. But we shouldn't abide in that condition for one minute, whereby we cannot come boldly to the throne of grace, and why we cannot come and partake of this provision which the Lord has given to us. Oh, let us indeed come under that blood, Jesus. That precious blood, under the cleansing, healing blood. Oh, Jesus. Let us sing that chorus, under the blood, the precious blood. And let us turn to the Lord and ask Him to show us if there's anything at all, anything whatsoever, that is hindering us from partaking worthily. God wants this ordinance to be an ordinance of life, not of judgment. But He makes it very, very clear. Very clear in His word that it can be, this partaking can be judgment to us. That's a frightful thing to think of. But it's so. It's so. And I would not be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ if I did not proclaim His truth and warn you. Get right with God immediately.